Today's Shiur Masech B'charis Daf Tezayin. We will begin on Daf Tezayin Amun Aleph, the top line Amamar. We learned in our previous Shiur, the Gemara on Daf Tezvav Amun Beis quoted a Braisa discussing the same subject that we learned in the Mishnah, and that is an animal that somebody was Magdish. Whether the first part of the Mishnah and the first part of the Braisa referred to a situation where the animal was a Balmum when he was Magdashit, and the second part of the Braisa referred to a situation where the animal was a healthy animal when he was Magdashit, and then it became a Balmum, which, as we always say, that's what the Torah means when it speaks about Psulei Hamagdashim. And the Braisa spoke about various halachas regarding that animal and its velodos, its offspring. So the Braisa said that if the animal got pregnant after you were magdashit and you were paided afterwards, and then the child was born, so the Braisa said regarding those children, ein niftan tamimim, they may not be redeemed while they're healthy, vein matfisim l'chol zavach shiirtza. Furthermore, we can't make them stronger kedusha, as we learned yesterday, Rav Chanina and Rav Shesh is telling us, by calling them a carbon. So says the Gemara, Tamimah Hodla Mifriki, it seems that we can't be part of them when they're still whole, Habali Mumin, but when these children become Bali Mumin, Mifriki, we may be part of them. Furthermore, L'chol Zevach Shiirtza Hudei Matfisam, we can't give them the Kedusha of a carbon, that any carbon that we would so choose, Halois Zevach Matfisam, we could give it the Kedusha that the mother had. So, what does that mean? The matfison lois zavach v'nitman b'mumin. So to explain what the Gemara is saying. Again, we have here a situation where the animal, we were magdashit healthy. It then got pregnant, and then it became a balmum. And as the Chazanish says, if the baby would have been born before it became a balmum and you applied it, that baby would be perfectly fine to be brought as a carbon. Here that didn't happen. It got pregnant, became a balmum, you applied it, and then the baby was born. And you have now an issue what to do with the baby. So the Braisa said, you can't be applied the baby when it's still healthy. And the Braisa said, you can't be paided when it becomes balmum. The reason you can't be paided when it becomes balmum is because it has a very low level kedusha. But what the Braisa gives us as advice, to be able to give it a strength, to give it a higher level of kedusha, is to designate it while it's still in its mother's womb to be a carbon. And as we're going to learn now, the same type of carbon that its mother is. So that raises the level of Kedusha. And since it raises the level of Kedusha, now you will be able to redeem that child. And therefore, Heichem Shkachslo, says the Gemara, the Matfis and Lois Zavach, you give it the Kedusha, designated as a carbon, the same type of its mother, and then V'niftim V'munim. Then when this offspring, when this filad becomes balmum, you'll be able to be poided. Ask the Gemara, name it to you, to the Rav Huna. Isn't this a refutation of what Rav Huna said in the previous year? Because Rav Huna said in the previous year that there's nothing you could do with this animal. Rav Huna said, machnison l'kipa, you have to put it into a cell and let it die. Obviously, why? Because obviously Rav Huna's opinion is, there's nothing you could do. This Bryce is saying, there is something you could do. Answers the Gemara, there's nothing you could do. Just what? For either the Tana Reisha, as we mentioned at the beginning of our shir. In the beginning of our shir, I said that the beginning of the Braisa speaks about a case where the animal was a balmum when you were magdish it. So as we learned in our previous shir, since the animal was a balmum when you were magdish it, and then it got pregnant, and then you were paid it, and then it had a baby, so that baby, the Braisa said, has no kedusha at all. And therefore, niftan tamimim, you can even be paid it when it's healthy. That's why Tananami Sefer, for consistency purposes, for stylistic purposes, ain't niftan tamimim. But it really has nothing to do with anything. It doesn't make a difference if it's tamim or bamum. Rav Huna says there's nothing you could do with the case that we started the shiur with today, that the baby came from an animal that's psulei mekdashim. Furthermore, we learned in the Reisha that again, the same situation, where an animal was a balmum when you were magdishit, and then it got pregnant, and then you were poided, and then it had a baby, that even though that baby was conceived while it was kadosh, since you have such a low level kedusha, super low level kedusha, that baby could be used for any type of carbon that you would so want. That's why Tanenayim Sefer Chalzevach Shirtzah, but the truth of the matter is there's nothing you could do for the baby of the second part of the Braisa, and Rav Huna holds that it has to be put into a cell, left to die. Vashacht Mechutz Potter, we learned again that the halacha is that a Shacht Mechutz, that if somebody takes this animal that became posel, that you've, again, the case was you were magdish the animal, and then it became balmum. You're not chayiv on shchutei chutz. Why? As we explained in the previous year. Because the Mishnah is, the Brice is teaching us that only a carbon that could be brought on the Mizbeach is there a halacha of shchutei chutz. This animal cannot be put on the Mizbeach. Why? Because this animal is a balmum. And a balmum may not be put on the Mizbeach. And since it can't be put on the Mizbeach, if you brought it outside of the Mizbeach, then you're potter. So the Achronim ask a Gevaldige Kasha. Actually, this Braisa speaks about Shachtim B'chutz twice. It speaks about the case, it says Shachtim B'chutz in the first case, where you were magdish an animal that was a balmum, and the Braisa said Shachtim B'chutz is potter. And it speaks about the case when you were magdish an animal that's not a balmum, but then it became balmum, and the Braisa said, "Ashoch b'chutz is potter." So ask the Achronim, if in the second case that the hegdish was a real hegdish, because when you were magdish the animal, it wasn't a balmum. The halacha is "Ashoch b'chutz is potter." That certainly in the first case, where your hegdish was an invalid hegdish, because you were magdish an animal that's a balmum, and as we've said so many times, being magdish an animal that's a balmum doesn't really bring to it kedusha, and it, moreover, it's a nuav. Certainly, the halacha should be a shechtim b'chutz potter. So, why does the Braisa have to mention it in the first case if we already know from the second case a shechtim b'chutz potter? So, the Achronim say that that's actually what Rav Huna, that we're about to quote, is coming to address. Because Rav Huna actually says the Gemara has a different girsa of the Sefer. He holds that the girsa of the Sefer is chayiv. Umukalei bedukin shba'ayin. Believe the Rekiva the Alula Yardu. Rekiva teaches us that if an animal has a mum of Dukin Shiba'ayin, typically we explain Dukin Shiba'ayin means cataracts. Some Rishonim explain that its eyelids are damaged. But whatever. There's a din that we learned from Sechta Zvachim that according to Rekiva, Imolu, if somebody puts such an animal on the Mizbeach, Lo Yardu. It should remain on the Mizbeach. So now the Gemara is very understandable. In the Sefer, you were magdish an animal. Then it became Balmum. What kind of Balmum? Dukin Shiba'ayin. Cataracts. According to Rav Akiva, if you put that animal on the Mizbeach, even though you ought not to, because it's a Balmum, Emor lo yeridu. So since it has a place on the Mizbeach, therefore the halacha is that if you bring it outside the Mizbeach, you'll be over the Aveira of Shchutei Chutz. Whereas in the Reisha, since it was a Balmum before it was, you were Magdashit, There, even Rabbi Kiva will agree that even if it only has the mum of Dukin Shabayin, that lach is an olu yerdu, if they put on his back, they have to be removed. Why? Because it was a baal mum before you were magdashit. There, shchutei chutz will be potter. So now the Gemara is beautiful. In the Reisha, shchutei chutz is always potter. In the Sefer, shchutei chutz is only potter by most mumim, not by Dukin Shabayin according to Rabbi Kiva. We learned further. Ben lefnei pinjoinim, ben leach pinjoinim, as a tamura. A fascinating line. A fascinating line of the Gemara. The Braisa speaks about the following situation. And we need to stop and talk about this for a moment. Again, what is the situation that the animal was not a bamum? You were magdashit. Then you were appointed. And once you were appointed, because it became psulah and magdashim, the Braisa taught us that the child of that animal will be k'tzvi v'kayol. We learned that extensively in the previous year. But the tmura will be valid. So let's think about it before we learn the Gemara. The Rishonim, the Achronim try to understand this Gemara. Why is tmura more serious than a vlad? We're saying that the vlad of this animal has no kedusha after the pigeon, that was born after the pigeon. Yet, the vat of the psulim migdashim after the pigeon. But we're saying that the tamura does. Why do we treat tamura more stringently than we treat vlad? So Tosis' approach in the whole Gemara is that these are really gzeris akasus that we're going to have psukim that we're going to learn that teach us these halachas. That's Tosis' approach. I saw the Briskerov, I saw the Stipler and the Kilos Yaakov have a very different, interesting approach. What is the taich of a vlad kachim? The definition of Vlad Kachem is that the mother has Kedusha, and that Kedusha extends to the child. Therefore, they say, this animal that became Psulim Megdashim, and then you apply to them, has no Kedusha, and doesn't have the ability to extend its Kedusha to its child, because it hardly has any Kedusha itself anymore. Gizav avoid its Osir, but nothing more. But let's think about Temura, they say. What does Temura mean? Temura means that I create a Hegdish. That's what Temura means, the I substitute. When you create a Hegdish, and the Torah HaKadosh teaches us that a person has the ability to create a Hegdish. That's the whole parasha of Hegdish. Whenever you magdish something, it emanates from your ability to be magdish. So it's a much easier way to create Hegdish than just an automatic extension. And therefore, if the mother's a psulia magdashim, that was nifta, it doesn't have that ability to automatically extend Hegdish to its children. But when you, on your own initiative, went and made a Temura, you have that ability. And since you have the ability, the child, the Temura, will be Hegdish. So again, Bein Lefnei B'Jonim, Bein Lach B'Jonim, Asa Temura. Amrav Nachman, Amrav Avuha, V'Temura Salachim, so what happens if you did this? Again, you have the psula Megdashim after the pigeon, that you made a Temura. What happens with that animal that you identified as a Temura? Mesa. You have to let it die. Says the Gemara, my Tama, why is that the halacha? Says the Gemara, Hechlev, because what should you do here? Likrava, to suggest that you should bring the Temura as a carbon, because the Temura is not a Balmum, doesn't make sense to say, says the Gemara. Because Mekoyach Kedusha Dechuyu Kasya. What is it a Temura of? It's Temura of an animal that became a Balmum. That doesn't have the ability that it should be put on the Mizbeach. Likrava, to redeem it, that also isn't an option. The svar that Gemara keeps on repeating. Since it's such a low-level Kedusha, you can't be poida. Hilkach, because you have no other option, Mesa, you leave it to die. Maskel of Rambam asks of Amram, why is that the halacha, that we leave it to die? But this echem emum elabalim, why don't we wait for this temura to become a balmum? And then after it becomes a balmum, the owner should be able to eat it. For says Rav Amram, v'chim ha-ben zu, le-temuras b'char ha-maisa, why is this treated any different than the temura of a b'char ha-maisa? The Tanan, the Mishnah says, in Masech the temura. Temuras b'char ha-maisa. Again, let's get the story. You have a bechor, and then you make a temura of it. You have maisa behema. We know that every tenth animal has to be identified as the maisa behema. Go through a procedure, and you make a temura of that animal. So the halacha is hein uvladan uvlavladan at saif kaladoris harenke bechor maisa. They're treated that they have kedushas bechor, they have kedushas maiser, v'yarchlam b'mumen lebalim, and they're treated that the owner should wait for them to become balmum and then eat them. So as far as maiser is concerned, the rishonim all agree what the pshat in the Mishnah is. Again, what do we have here? We had an animal that's maiser behema. You made a tmura of it. Paskins the Mishnah. Wait for that tmura animal to become a bamum, and the owner will be able to eat it. Very simple. What about tmuras bechor? What is the halacha of tmuras bechor? Here, again, the story is very clear. You had a bechor. You made a tmura of it. What the Mishnah paskins is very explicit. We just read it. The Mishnah Masechta Tmura. That the owner eats it when it becomes bamum. The machloikas rishonim, however, is who is considered the owner. Many rishonim say it's the kohen, because who's the owner of a bechor? The kohen. So the tmuras bechor becomes the kohen's. Other rishonim say no. The owner of the tmuras bechor is the owner of the original animal. And the briskerov explains what's the machloikas rishonim all about. The machloikas rishonim is how far are the rights of a kohen and a bechor. The man d'amar that says that tmuras bechor belongs to the kohen is of the opinion that the kohen has full-fledged rights in a bechor. And the Yisrael, what is the Yisrael in whose home the bechor was born, is a stranger here. Other Rishonim say you can't call him a stranger. So therefore the bechor itself is indeed the kohen's. The tmuras bechor, the kohen doesn't have such strong rights to. But back to Al-Gemar. So what do we see? There's a concept that a tmura of an animal is nechrel when it becomes balmum. So why in our case is the halacha that the tamura of the Surah HaMikdashim Mesa is left to die? Answers the Gemara. Amle Abaya. Zesh Shem Imayalov. Zesh Shem Imayalov. When you call an animal a tamura, it's still connected to where it came from. And continues Abaya saying, Ma b'chor mais v'mumim m'sachna l'bama. Af tamurasa m'sachla. A tamuras a bechor, a tamuras meiser, says, is considered a bechor meiser. What is the halacha by a bechor that becomes balmum? It's eaten. What is the halacha meiser becomes balmum? You don't bring it as a carbon, it's eaten. So therefore, since that's the halacha by bechor meiser, so too that is the halacha by the tamura of bechor meiser. However, v'zeh shem imayalov. What is this called? Tamuras kachim. Zed shem imalov tmuras kachim ikra. Ma kachim lo misachli b'pidyon. So how could you ever eat an animal that was once kodesh? Only if you redeem it. So too, af tmurasum nami lo misachli el b'pidyon. The only way you could ever eat that tmura is with pidyon. But here, as we said a few moments ago, pidyon is not an option. Why is pidyon not an option? Because it's a very low level kedusha. V'ho lo elemi lo mitfas pidyona. Since it's a low-level pidyon, the only option the Torah gives you for kachim that become balmum is to be paid in them. Here, pidyon, because it's a low-level kedusha, is not an option. Therefore, the halacha is that's meisa. And says the Gemara, Tanya kavosei Rav Nachman. So says the Gemara, there's a brayse that actually corroborates this. Minayin l'tmuras psulei mikdashin shemeisa. How do we know we have an animal? Again, to get the story straight. The animal, you were magdish it as a healthy animal. It became a balmum. And you applied it. And now, so it's psula magdashim. And you did a tamura. How do we know that the halach is that tamura, which we finished explaining why can be chal, why can be effective, is left to die? Tamaloyma, bimala agera. The Torah Akdosha says, actually this pasuk appears twice in the Torah, in Vayikra and in Devarim. Pasuk begins, Es elu toichlu, mimale hagera, umafrise aparsa, es hagomo, kimale gerahu, and then Tosa goes on to speak about the chazer who's mafris parsa. So before we go further, the Gemara is going to identify that this pasuk is superfluous. And it is indeed superfluous, but we already addressed that issue on Davov. Because in Avav we said that pasuk is coming to teach us that a animal that's tohar, that has the simone tohara, that was born from a non-kosher animal, hayotzi min ha-tamei is tamei, is considered non-kosher. So the Rishonim respond that that takes care of that pasuk appearing once, either in Vayikra or Dvarim. But as I said, this pasuk appears twice. So now the Gemara is speaking about the second time it appears. And the Achronim go on to discuss, so what's superfluous of the pasuk? I saw two different pshatim. One pshat is that the Torah has come to teach us the din of a gomel that has only one siman tahara, that it chews its cud, but doesn't have split hooves. The Torah has come to teach us the din of a chazir, that only has split hooves, but doesn't chew its cud. So why does a pasuk have to begin with the introduction that an animal that does have split hooves and does chew its cud is kosher? That isn't the subject. The subject is the animal that doesn't have both simanim. That's one approach in the Achrayinim. Another approach in the Achrayinim, fascinating approach. And when you look at the pasuk, it's obvious difficulty with the pasuk. The pasuk is telling us that a camel is no good. Why? It's not kosher. So you would say, because the problem with a camel is it doesn't have split hooves. That's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk speaks about the camel having, that it chews its cud. That's not the problem. The chewing the cud is the good news. The pasuk should focus on the bad news. And the same by the chazer. The Torah says that the chazer has split hooves. That isn't the problem. The problem is that it doesn't chew its cud. So the pasuk is not focused on the issue that's at hand. And that's what the Braisa says we're going to address. Minayin, the Tamur's Kachim Surah Mekdash and Shemesa, that it's left to die. And the Tosfos goes on to explain again. Because even though we've explained how it becomes Kodesh, the pasuk, this is Tosfos L'shitaso, he says, why is it left to die rather than eaten when it's a Balmum? As the Gemara asked, Tamaloima, Mamali Hagera Tami. That's why these extra words come to teach us this thing. Ask the Gemara, Haku would say that that's what this pasuk is coming to teach us. Hamibale, L'chomish Chatas Mesis. We know throughout Shas, the Gemara speaks about five cases where Korban Chatos is left to die. Chatos Sh'over Shinasa, a Chatos that you designate an animal for Korban Chatos, and now it's older than a year. Chatos Shemesu Balea, a Chatos whose owner died. Chatos, a Tmuris Chatos. Chatos Nskapu Balea Ba'achar, a Chatos that, let's say, an owner designated Korban Chatos. He loses the animal, so he takes another animal. So this first animal is Chatos Nskapu Balea, Chatos Shemesu Balea, Korban Chatos that owner died. And throughout Shas, we know that the Aloch is that those Chatos are left to die. How do we know it? From this pasuk. So ask the Gemara, how could you say that this pasuk is coming to teach us the din of Tmuris Psulei HaMikdashim? Don't we need it for that? Answers the Gemara, Hahumim Mefrisa Parasa Tamei Nafka. As I said, there are two extra parts of that pasuk, the Malagera wording and the Mefrisa Parasa wording. Mefrisa Parasa comes to teach us the din of Chamish Chatas Mesis. Malagera comes to teach us the din of Tmuris Psulei HaMikdashim. Tanya Nami Hachi, Minayin L'chomish Chatas Mesis, where do we know that these five types of Korban Chatas are left to die? Tamalomer, Mafrisei Parasa Tamei. Ask the Gemara. That's how we know the din of Chomish Chatas Mesis? Chomish Mechatas Mesis, Hilchasa Gemira Law. Throughout Shas, we always say that this rule, that these five Korban Chatas are left to die, we know from Halacha L'mashma Sinai, not from a Pasuk. Allah says the Gemara, Ki Asa Kra, the pasuk isn't coming to teach us Chamish Chatas Mesis. Chamish Chatas Mesis we indeed know from Halacha L'mashma Sinai. We need the pasuk for Tmuris Asham. The Tmuris Asham, the halacha is Yira Achi Yistav. We wait for it to become Balmum, and then we sell it. The proceeds are used for Oilus Ketzim Zveyach. This is Machloikis exactly what is the halacha. Some say that really Midaraisa Tmuris Asham should be sold directly for carbon oils, ketzim, mizbeach. And it was the Rabbanon who said, no, we let it first become balmum and then sell it. Others say that that is the halacha originally. What we said is, we still have two extra psukim. Mafrisei parsa malagera. Mafrisei parsa comes to teach us the din of Tmuris Asham. Malagera comes to teach us the din of Tmuris Psula Mekdashim. Ask the Gemara, Tmuris Asham nami hilchasihi. That also is a halacha l'mashmas Sinai. For there's a rule throughout Shas, kosh b'chatas meisa, wherever the halacha is by k'mchatas that it's left today, by Oshim roya, by Oshim we let it become a balmum, and then we sell it for oil's ketz mizbeach. And one is one of the cases of chatas, t'murus chatas. So by Oshim, t'murus Oshim is roya. So we're back to where we're starting. You're saying, well, we need the one pasik for t'murus Oshim. T'murus Oshim also is a halacha l'mashmas Sinai. So what do we do with mafrisei parasa? It says, Chamish Chatas Meisa is the Pasik. We ask the Kasha. It's not a Pasik. It's Allah L'Mash Sinai. Says the Gemara, it's the Krav, it's the Hilchasa. The Din of Chamish Chatas Meisa has in it both. It has an element of Allah L'Mash Sinai, and it has an element of Pasik. And the Gemara explains, Vitzrich Krav, Vitzrich Hilchasa. And we need to have both of these characteristics. Did Mikra, if we only had the Pasuk, have Milriya? What should you do with these Chamish B'chatas? We should let it become about Mum and Selah for Oyler Keitz Mizbeach. Kamashma Hilchasa, that's what Allah L'Mashim Mesinai comes to teach us, L'Misa, that it should be left to die. Vime Hilchasa, but if we only had Allah L'Mashim Mesinai, have a Mina, we would think Hechid Ova, that if instead of letting it die, you used it, Hechid Ova V'Ikri V'Ochel, Mahani Chamish Chatas, Chamish Chatas. If somebody went and ate from these things, Isur Ikad is only Isur, Lav Leka, but there is no Lav, Kamash Malon, that's why we have the Pasuk to teach us the Ikka Lav. So the Rishonim and Achronim say that this Gemara opens up our understanding of Halach L'Mashim Sinai. They explain what we see from this Gemara is that something that's also because of a Halach L'Mashim Sinai is considered Osa Medaraisa. Because if it wasn't considered Asa Medaraisa, then we could understand why we need a Pasuk. That's one side of the equation. On the other hand, what we see from here is that Allah L'Mashim Sinai is not considered a Lav, it's not considered an Asay, it's considered Asr, but it doesn't have that status of a Lav. The way the Echrayim explain it is that throughout Shas, we have a rule, Chotzi Shir is Asa Medaraisa. When something is Asr, you're not allowed to eat Kazayas and Macholos Asuras. But the halacha is you're not even allowed to eat medaraisa chatzishir. That's, but it's not explicit in the Torah. The same is the category of halacha l'mashim Sinai. That's why the din of chamish chatas meisis has to have both qualities of halacha l'mashim Sinai. That's how we know we leave it to die. On the other hand, it has the din of a pasuk that it has the din of a lav. Actually, I saw the Achorim say a very nice fart. We know that according to most Rishonim, Sofik deraisa l'chumra. If you have a sofik deraisa, we have to go l'chumra. What is the din by halach l'mashim Sinai? If you have a sofik halach l'mashim Sinai, what is the rule? So the Chorim say from here we see the rai is that a halach l'mashim Sinai has the same rule. Because if not, the Gemara could have said a very gishmak and afkamina. Then if it's only halach l'mashim Sinai, it will be sofik l'kula. If it's deraisa, sofik l'chumra. The fact that the Gemara doesn't give that nafkamina is a raya that they both have the same rule that we go l'chumra by both. Vibay Seima, another point is, indeed, Chamish Chatas Meis is Halach L'Mashim Sinai. So if it's Halach L'Mashim Sinai, we go back to our original question, why do we need the Pasuk to speak about it? Vibay Seima, L'Kush Dov Abba Mechlal Mimala Geira L'Dov Abba Mefrisa Parasa Mala Halm B'Misa Afkam B'Misa. We know that Tmuris Osh, we know that the Pasuk is speaking about Tmuris Psula Mikdashim. But we don't know what to do with it. We know the Torah says there's a problem with it. So what do we do with it now? Only because the first part of the Pasuk, Malai Geir speaks about Tmuris Psula Mikdashim. Mafrisa Pasuk speaks about Chamish Chatas. And since the Aloch is by Chamish Chatas, the Aloch is that it's left to die. So, and it's in the same Pasuk, Tmuris Psula Mikdashim, so we say the Hekish teaches us that they should have the same rule, Misa, that they're left to die. From here, the Achrayim say, we see a very interesting concept. According to this Teretz of the Gemara, the Halach of Chamish Chatas is primarily Halach L'Mashim Sinai. From here we see we could use Halach L'Mashim Sinai to teach us a Hekish. And it doesn't have to be a Pasuk in the Torah to teach us a Hekish, you could even learn a Hekish from Halach L'Mashim Sinai. When we learned Masechta Ksubis, the Noshim, the Masechtas and say the Noshim, the word Tzoyin Barzel, Nechsei Tzoyin Barzel, keep on coming up. In our Mishnah, it's going to come up now again, but in a different sense. Many times, they would enter into a transaction called the Tzayim Barzla transaction. And to apply it to our case, what happened is like this. You have a guy who has sheep. He gives the sheep to the Jew with the deal as follows. They assess the value of those sheep, and the guy says that up to a certain point, you have to pay me back that value. Makes no difference what happens to the value of that sheep. And according to Rashi, I'm also going to get half of the children of that sheep. That's how Rashi learns. The Rashi learns he doesn't get necessarily half the value, half the sheep. He gets half the value of the sheep. Tysus has a whole different approach. Tysus' approach is that he gives them the sheep, and the Yisrael gets the children. But the Yisrael is obligated to pay back that value, the value of the sheep, no matter what happens to those sheep, over a certain period of time. And if he doesn't pay back, he gets half the vlodis. He gets a certain amount on top of that every year. So says the Mishnah, I'm a Jew, and I enter into this Tzayim Barzla relationship with an Akum. Vlodisayim, and now they have children, Pturim. Those children have no Chiv B'chayra. Why? Because the way Rashi learns, it's very simple. The Akum gets half the Vlodis. So it's considered a Shutvis, and since it's a Shutvis, there's no Dinah B'chayra. Vlodisayim, what about the grandchildren of those? Chayovim. Are obligated. Hemet Vlad the same, Tachs the same. But when I entered into this relationship with the Akum, we made up that the Akum, if I don't pay back, could go to the Vlad the same to take his money. Then, the Vladi Vlad is Pturim. The grandchildren, Bechayrus, the Akum can't take. Vladi Vlad the same, Chayovim. But the great grandchildren, which would mean the fourth generation, Archaiv and Bechayra. Why is there a difference between the third generation and the fourth generation? There are a number of explanations in the Mefarshim. One explanation of the Mefarshim is that by law, the Akum has no right to go that far in taking his debt. Another explanation is that typically they don't go that far. They'll be able to collect their debt earlier, and therefore these are considered animals that the Akum has no connection to, and therefore there's a Chiyu B'chayra. Another explanation, which is very similar, is what is the lomdus why the Akum could collect his due? That departed from B'chayra. Because the lomdus is, if he won't be able to take from the mother, he'll take from the child. And if he won't be able to take from the child, he'll take from the grandchild. And if he won't be able to take from the grandchild, he'll take from the great-grandchild. So we keep on saying Hoyel. Hoyel. We don't say hoyel that many times. Rishim Gamlai Leimer, I feel out of Sarah Darius, even for 10 generations, Peturim. There's no Chiyav B'chayra. These, all the generations of these Tzayim Barzla, Shechrayis Leiv Kachavim. And the Gemara is going to explain what Rishim means towards the end of the year. What happens now in the Mishnah is the Mishnah raises a different issue altogether, which we're going to speak about in tomorrow's year. A subject that we've already learned. Rachash Yoldim and Eiz. You have an animal that's a sheep that has a child that looks like a goat, or vice versa, Eish Yaldim in Rachel, Pturim in Bechayra, then there's no Chiyah Bechayra, but Im Yesh by Mixas Simonim, if there is some resemblance between the child and its mother, then it's Chayiv. But as the Rishonim say, when the Mishnah says here that it's Chayiv, that if this child doesn't really look like its mother, just has some resemblance, it's Chayiv, it doesn't mean that it's put on the Mizbech as a carbon Bechar, it means that it's given to the Kayin, and the Kohen could eat it as his own personal property. So, we go back to the first case of the Mishnah. And the first case of the Mishnah, Pasha Pshah in the Mishnah, is that since the Akum has a very strong lien on these animals, why? Because he's going to get their value, and he can collect for that value. That's why it's considered that the Akum is related to these animals, and that's why there's no Chiyah B'chayra. Lememra, since I have to pay its value to the Akum under all circumstances, it's considered that Akum is considered still an owner, and since he's considered somewhat still of an owner, that's why I'm part from Bechayra. Ask the Gemara, Vermin. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Masechta Mamatzia. Ein Mekam Mitzoyim Baz Meyisrael. Our Mishnah spoke about a situation where I enter into such a relationship with an Akum. What about entering into such a relationship with a Yisrael? Where you give me the Tzoyim, and I have to pay back no matter what, the value of the Tzoyim. The Halach is, that is in a relationship that's Osir. Neishu Ribbis. It's considered Ribbis. Why is it considered Ribbis? Because let's think about it. This is Tosfos explanation. The simplest explanation, because it's Ribbis Daraisa. What happens here is as follows. We made up that you're lending me your Tzoyim. The Tzoyim are worth, let's say, $100. You're getting back $100 no matter what. But on top of getting back the $100, you're also getting the Velodis. Velodis is Ribbis. So what do we see from here? Alma. So Tosfos, to make a Ribbis Daraisa, says that you're not really getting the Velodis, because we can never know for sure that there will be Velodis. So that's why Tosfos says you're getting back a certain amount of money that we make up as interest, and the deal is that if you won't be able to collect money from me because I won't have cash, you'll take the Velodis. That's why it's a Ribbis. Alma, Bershus the Makabel Kaima. Now, why is this considered Ribbis? When is there a case of Ribbis? The case of Ribbis is when you lend me something and I have to pay you back more than I got. But if you're still an owner here, then it's not Ribbis. Obviously, what does that Mishnah Masechta Matziah teach us? That when we enter into a Tzoyim Vazer relationship, it becomes completely the Makabel. And that the Noiser has no more connection to it. So isn't that a steer to what our Mishnah says? That the Akum is still, the Akum, the Noisen, is still considered connected here? Let's read the words of the Gemara. Alma, from that Mishnah it seems to teach us, Rishus the Makabel Kaima. It's still considered, that it's considered completely mine, the receiver. And our Mishnah says that the Akum, the Noisen, is still considered the involved. Answer the Gemara, Amma Ba'aloi Kasha. There's two different types of Tzoyim Ba'azer relationship. In our Mishnah, you know why the Akum says Abai is still considered connected? Because the Akum takes upon himself that, let's say there's something, an accident happened, or there's a drop in value, he'll take that loss. And Masechta Matziah, he doesn't care. So that's why there it's Ribbis. That's why there he's not considered connected. That's why there the nice thing is not considered connected. And our Mishnah, he is considered connected. Amle Rava asks Rava Tabaya, the Kabbalah Ounce of Zayla, if you're going to say that our Mishnah is referring to a situation that the Akum gave me the animal, but it still is understanding that if something beyond my control happens to the animal, I shouldn't be held responsible, that's the opposite of Tzoyim Ba'azel. Because let's think about it, says Rava. Why is this relationship called Tzoyim Ba'azel? Iron sheep. Because what does Basel mean? It's a strong, it's a secure loan. What does a secure loan mean? A secure loan means that, let's say, the bank lends me money to buy a house. And then the drop real estate goes down. They don't care. Whatever they lent me, I have to pay them. That's why it's called Basel. It's a secure loan. If in our Mishnah you're explaining, says Rava to a buyer, that if it goes down, the lender will understand and take the loss, that's just the opposite of what Tzoyim Ba'azel represents. Right? Furthermore, says Robert Abaya, we have a very confusing situation according to you. The Mishnah Baba Metziah uses the word Tzoyim Ba'azel. The Mishnah Masechta Bechayrus uses the word Tzoyim Ba'azel with a very different understanding. And Masechta Baba Metziah Tzoyim Ba'azel means that it's secure. And Masechta Bechayrus means that, and the lender doesn't care what happens. The Meisim doesn't care what happens. And Masechta Baba Metziah, he does care. So how can we use the same terminology to describe very different situations? Void, and a third question. The halacha is that ribbis between Jews is awesome. Ribbis between a Jew and an Akum is mutter. So the Mishnah there, Masechta Baba Metziah, says that even though Tzoyim Ba'azel relationship between Jews is prohibited because of Issa ribbis, with an Akum it's mutter. Add the Tani Sefer. The Sefer, the Mishnah Masechta Baba Metziah says, because there's no problem of ribbis. The Mishnah could have told us even a bigger chiddush. That even by Jews, there's a time that Tzoyim Ba'azel relationship is mutter. Only with a Nisan isn't still somewhat secure. It's only when he's secured that he's going to get back his money. If he's secured that he's going to get back his money. If he's not secure, because he accepts that if the value drops, he'll take a loss. Shabbadami. So why do you have to say it's mutter with a guy? I could give you a case that it's mutter with a Jew. So now we have a very big problem. How do we understand these two Mishnayos? From that Mishnah it seems that the Nisein is completely out of it. And from this Mishnah it's considered the Nisein is still in it. Ela Merova, Edevi Edid Loi Kavalai Unto V'Zayla. We go back to the traditional definition of Tzayim Basel. The traditional definition of Tzayim Basel is that the Nisein is going to get back his money no matter what. So he's going to get back his money no matter what. And that's why it's also between two Yisraelim. So why in our Mishnah is the Akum still considered involved that it should be part from B'chayra? Because the halacha is, let's say the guy comes to me for his money, for the sheep, the value of the sheep, and I won't give him, because I don't have, the halacha is toughest lay lebehema. He'll take the animal. If the behema isn't here, or doesn't have the right value, toughest lay levelodis today. He's going to grab the velodis. Since he's left with that option, it's considered yad ovik chacham be'emtza, and says the Gemara that we know the halacha is that kol yad ovik chacham be'emtza, wherever the guy has a shayches, turim amilchay. So there's three pshatim in the mefarshim how to learn the Gemara. One pshat in the mefarshim is the Gemara is dealing with the reality. The reality is I owe the guy the value of the sheep, and the guy, if I won't pay him, will take the sheep, or will take the children, or even the grandchildren sometimes, that's enough that it should be considered Yarav Kacham Be'emtza, even though he's not allowed to, perhaps. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that Apidin Yisrael, according to Jewish law, he maybe doesn't have that right. But by non-Jewish law, by secular law, he has that right. And it goes back to an issue that we've discussed. Secular law affects the halacha. So since he has a right through secular law to take those animals, that makes it be considered yad ovik chacham be'emtza. A third pshat, which the Nesivos suggests, is that even through Jewish law, since I didn't pay back what I'm supposed to, the halacha is that the akum can mevatel and take the whole mechira and take back the animal and its flodus. So now, I sort of mefarsh mask a gvaldig akasha. If we're saying that wherever Akum has a lien on my animal, that is enough to be considered yet over kacham be'emtza, and therefore there's no chiyah b'chayra, we can maybe say there's no chiyah b'chayra in any place where there's a tax. Because what does tax tell us? If you don't pay your taxes, they could come take anything of yours. So potentially, if you don't pay your tax bill, they could take your animals. So why isn't it always considered yet over kacham be'emtza in a place where they pay taxes? So Mepharshim say a very posh the teretz. Here, the Akum has a relationship to these animals. And that's where he goes to collect his obligation from. He gave me the animal, actually, originally. By taxes, you don't collect taxes from animals. It's only if they're foreclosing. That's why it's considered very different. So we learned. Haven't led the same tax from the same. If they put up the children for collateral, Vlad Vlad is Paturim. So the Tanakhama said that then everything goes one more generation in being parted from Bechor. Amar Rav Huna, Vlad is Pturim, Vlad is Chayovim. He says that their children will be Potter, the third generation will be Potter, the fourth generation will be Chayiv. Rehudaima, Vlad is Nami Pturim, the fourth generation is also Potter, Vlad is, but the fifth generation is Chayovim. Ask the Gemara on Rabbi Yehuda, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Hevim v'lodus tachsim v'seyim, if the children were put up as collateral, v'lodi v'lodus p'turim, that's when the fourth generation is potter. So what do we see from here? Tamid the Hemid, only because they were put up as collateral. Harloi Hemid, under normal circumstances, they're not potter. Isn't that to Yufta Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda says that only, doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say that the fourth generation is always potter? Amlach Rav Yehuda, who had the nafkav the Hamid, even if they weren't put up with collateral. V'akamashmon, I feel a Hamid, even if they were put up, he's telling us that there's no difference if they were put up or not. And it doesn't make a difference. Vlad is Pturim. Third generation is always Potter. Fourth generation is Chayavim. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is no difference between if they were specifically put up as collateral or not. Tanan, says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, Rishon Gamliel Aimer, Afilu at Asar Dairus, even up to 10 generations, Peturim, Shechriyas Laiv Kachavim. Says the Gemara, Bishlam al Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Aram Mishnah is being very specific. Domet Nachas Tanakama Dairi. The Tanakama is teaching us that two generations is Potter, third generation is not Potter. Han Domel Rabbi Shim Gamliel. That's why Rav Shimon Gamliel responds to him. You're telling us that it only goes for two generations, and I'm telling you that it goes for all generations. Ela Rav Huna. According to Rav Huna, that only the children are potter, but nothing more. Ela Rav Huna. Why does the Mishnah use the word afilat saradairus? He's not speaking about Dairus. So how's Rav Shimon Gamliel responding to him? Answers the Gemara, Amalach Rav Huna, Rav Shimon Gamliel Ahemet Kai. Rav Shimon Gamliel is speaking about the situation where the children were specifically put up as collateral. The Nachas L'Dairi, that even the Tanakhama starts saying that it goes one more generation, says Rav Shimon Gamliel to the Tanakhama, it doesn't only go one more generation, it goes forever. Tashma, Hamakabot Sambazim Alev Kechavim, Vlad is Peturim, Vlad is Loi. So here it says clearly, the only second generation, not third generation, to Yofta de Rav Huna, who says that even third generation is Potter, Amlach Rav Huna, Eima Hain, Vlad is Seyim. The way to understand it means, the third generation, means the second and third generation. Ikadamri, Hain, Vlad is Seyim Peturim, which means the second and third generation, to Yofta Rav Huna that says that only the second generation is Potter, not the third generation. Amma, Lach Rav Huna, says Rav Huna, the way to understand the Braisa, Hain Uvlad is Potter, second generation, the Stein Basel themselves, and the second generation is Potter, Vlad Uvlad is, the third generation is Chayiv. So each Shita, Rav Huna says that under normal circumstances, the third generation is Chayiv, explains the Braisa that way. Rav Yehuda says, even under normal circumstances, even when it's not put up as collateral, the third generation is Potter, and he explains the Braisa to fit that pshat.